As we talk to the Lord, I want you to talk to the Lord this evening in the light of that song. Oh Lord, you are my God. There are all manners of God contending, but you alone are God. Hallelujah. Your counsels, they are reliable. Your word is sure. When you cause your word to come, it comes with power, it comes with grace, it comes with enablement. I will hold only unto your word. Hallelujah. I want you to talk to the Lord this evening, that the Lord will cause his word to come to you. Talk to God, that there be help from his presence. In Jesus' name, Father, we give you thanks. We bless your name. We worship you. We hallow you. We exalt you, Lord. We say, be thou exalted, O Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Even as we come before you this evening, even as we go into your world, we say, let the heavens over us be open. Cause your counsel to come unto us. Let there be help from your presence to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise ye the Lord. Let me ask a question. How many of us are tired on account of how long the day has been? It's been a very long day, but how many of us are tired? Okay, none of us is tired. Hallelujah. You know, it's what you say you will have. Do you realize that? It is what you say. A lot of times we undermine what comes out of our mouth. But the reality is that in the dispensation that God will bring us into, you will speak and there will be authority in your word. Your word will not fall to the ground, but your word will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. In the name of Jesus, your mouth will be like the mouth of God. Hallelujah. So I want you to say, I am strong. I am strong. I am well. I am whole. In the name of Jesus, I am not tired. Hallelujah. Now we are going to be opening our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11. And for a topic, we will be looking at the coming of the kingdom. Luke 11, thy kingdom come, or the coming of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Luke 11, are we there? Says from verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But the actual focus for what we want to deliberate upon is thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Now, the account here says, on a particular day, the disciples had been looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been praying, and they had been looking at him from a point of view of a very unusual person. A very unusual person. He speaks to the dead, they rise. He walks on water. He speaks to the wind obeys. And so many other things. The sick are raised. The blind are healed. And they are taking time to be observing him. And at this particular time, they approached him and they said, Oga, we've seen you do very unusual things. But there's something we want you to teach us. And it is, teach us to pray. And for me, that question was like, teach us to live. How do we live? What should drive our lives? What should be the focus? What should draw our attention? Hallelujah. What should form the meditations of our hearts? What should we reflect upon? What should drive us? What should take us to bed? What should wake us every morning when we wake up? What should come to our minds? Hallelujah. And he answered, he said unto them, when you pray, or put another way, when you live, when you think, everything about you should be guided by these words. And these are the words. He says, our Father. So I recognize that I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I have a Father. And brethren, these are very important because some of the challenges the devil is going to bring our way will question whose child you are. Some of the circumstances, the situations that will come our way will raise a question. Who is your Father? Hallelujah. Now, the issue is, if God is your Father, then it must show. Because between God and you, the contention must be sorted out. It's either that he is your Father or he is not God. But there are circumstances, there are situations in our lives that will be presented to him. That God, you are God. The issue of your being God is not in contention. But then the issue is, you as God, are you equally our Father? And Jesus made a very interesting statement. He said, if your fathers, your earthly fathers, with their limitations, if they are able to run around, they are able to do a few things to ensure that you have good things, how much more your heavenly Father, who is God? Hallelujah. So what I am saying is this. The controversy will be settled. He is either God or he is not God. Or if he is God, is he your Father? If he is not your Father, then there is no issue. But if he is God and he is your Father, then certain situations must give way. You don't seem to be hearing me. Certain situations must give way in the name of Jesus. Now, the question has been thrown. Yesterday, the Lord, by prophecy, was beginning to ask serious questions. That I am here as God, but are you here as my children? And that's really the challenge. I have no limitations as God. But the issue is, are you here as my child? Hallelujah. If you are here as my child, then there is no way you will go back the same. You will not go back the same. In the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus said, when you approach unto God, let this be your mindset. Let this be your orientation. Let this be the way you think. Let your thought be, my Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallelujah. Brethren, there are certain circumstances, there are certain situations that do not hallow the name of God. And God, by his Spirit, is going to roll away shame. He is going to roll away rebuke. He is going to roll away reproach. In the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord will be hallowed in your life. Not just by what you express, but by his visitation upon your life. The thrust of what I'm saying this evening is that God sees you as his representative on this earth. You are God's representative. You represent God's interest on the earth. And every time people look at you, the issue is, sorry, sir, you say God is your father. Is that so? I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Is God your father? Is he God? Hallelujah. Brethren, his name will be hallowed in our lives. His situation, every situation in which we find ourselves, God's name will be hallowed in our lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't believe me? Do you believe me? Let your name be hallowed. Let your name be exalted. Let your name be praised. Let your name be reverenced. Let your glory be seen upon us in the name of Jesus. Says, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Let your intent come to pass. Let that which you have proposed, let it come upon the earth in the name of Jesus. Now, I want us to open to the book of Revelation 11. There is a statement there. Revelation 11, reading from verse 15. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And we say amen. I'll read that again. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever in Jesus' name. Let me ask a question. Is this going to come to pass? Is that statement going to come to pass? That the kingdoms of this world will bow at the feet of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign. He shall reign. And he shall reign in the name of Jesus. Now, the issue is, he desires to reign, but the beginning of his reigning will be in your life. Hallelujah. The Lord must reign in your life. And the Lord must reign about your circumstances and your situations in the name of Jesus. Now, let me say this. The Lord, by his Spirit, is saying judgments will begin. Well, if I say will begin, it will assume as if it has not started to happen. But it will begin to come, and come with great intensity. Hallelujah. Now, would that be good news? Is it good news? Is it bad news? That judgments begin to come. The issue, and I'm sure that was mentioned a little earlier on, that God will have his way. God will exercise control upon this earth. Hallelujah. Now, the way he will do that is exemplified in what you find in Jeremiah 1. There, God had called Jeremiah and said, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you on an assignment. There is a job I have in mind for you, and you are going to go. Hallelujah. And Jeremiah said, oh, but God, you know, I am a child. I am weak. I am this. I am that. Like many of us do. When God tells us, this is what I want to do, we have reasons. God, you know, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, I cannot say this, I cannot say that. And God says, you will go to all the people that I shall send you. But let us just quickly run there and then we will get out of it. Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1, reading from verse 7, it says, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send you. And whatsoever I command, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. Now, let me ask, is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing? But these things don't look very positive. I want you to look at it. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. Are those positive things? Some of us are nodding. Some seem not to be sure. Brethren, they are necessary things. Hallelujah. The Lord will do what? He will root out. He will pull down. He will destroy. He will throw down. But why will he need to do that? Because there are many things that are standing now that are encumbrances. They are hindering the way. They are standing in the way. And for him to do the last two that he desires to do, that is to build and to plant, he has to do all the four. And you will look at it. Four will appear to be destructive. Pull down, destroy, root out. And then to build and to plant. But hallelujah, the Lord will build and the Lord will plant in the name of Jesus. And the building and the planting will begin with us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ, of His anointed. Hallelujah. The things that had been challenges in our lives, grace will be ministered in the name of Jesus. Now, Isaiah 60 still comes to mind as we reflect on that which God desires to do and that is working out at this time. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60 says, rise up and blaze forth. Rise up and shine, for grace is ministered to you. And why is the Lord saying that? He says, darkness will cover the earth. Darkness will cover the earth. And gross darkness will cover the people. Hallelujah. It is a necessary part of that which the Lord is working on the earth. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. As you go to the book of Isaiah, I don't know whether we will be able to go through it, but I will want you on your own to go and look at it. From Isaiah 7 to Isaiah 10, the Spirit of the Lord is indicating that days are coming upon the church and upon the world. They are challenging days. Hallelujah. They are challenging days. The challenge will be such as circumstances and situations will come. Maybe let us quickly just run there. We'll look at a few of them and then we'll move away from there. Isaiah 7. It says, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, they went up towards Jerusalem to war against it. Hallelujah. But the encouragement is they could not prevail against it. There was an intent. There was a plan. A plan that was actually carried out. It says two people came together. The king of Israel and the king of Syria. They conspired. They made a confederacy. And they said, let us come against Jerusalem to war against it. And that's the reason why in the days that are ahead, you must be careful how you hear. You must be careful how you hear. The word came. These two have made a confederation. These two have risen. The intent is to make war. And they had every intent to carry it out. But then God puts a clause there that even though they make war against Jerusalem, they will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? Whatever is the situation that you may have found yourself, or whatever is the situation that may come against you, let me assure you, that situation will not prevail against you. In the name of Jesus, the intent is not that they may prevail against you. The intent is to see on what are you standing. Hallelujah. On what are you standing? Our brother was speaking about overcomers earlier in the day. The cap of an overcomer is not going to be put on your head free of charge. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't hear me. The cap, the crown of an overcomer will not be placed upon your head free of charge. You will earn it. Hallelujah. I was speaking somewhere not too long ago that it is in this part of the world that a person can become a general without having fought any war. That somebody can just wake up one day and say, those people in the seat of government, we don't even know what they are doing. They are taking pepper soup just like we are taking pepper soup. They are drinking beer just like we are. Why don't we go and drink the beer they are drinking in that place where they are drinking it? The beer there is sweeter than the one we are drinking here. And they're just strolling. And somebody who today was a corporal or a sergeant can come out the next day and is a full-star general. In fact, you know, he might say, what is the highest rank that the army anywhere in the world have made? They say, no, it's not general, look. It is field marshal. Senior field marshal. Put it on my head. I am today field marshal. And from that day, everybody says, ah, field marshal, sir. But in a proper army, it is not like that. In a proper army, you go through the ranks. Hallelujah. So the day they say, these are God's generals, it's not something that is dashed to you. Hallelujah. It will not be dashed to you. God, by experiences, is going to take us through, will mature us. The Bible says, a people, by reason of use, have had their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. The Lord will bring us to that estate in the name of Jesus. Experiences that He will allow to come our way. Hallelujah. After all, the desire of our heart is that we may come forth as full-grown sons. Is that not the case? Hallelujah. Full-grown sons we will come out as in the name of Jesus. But here we're told, a word came. There is a war coming. But there's an assurance, they will not prevail against you. You know, the passage where the theme of the conference has been picked, there's a similar story there. The account says, the Lord Jesus Christ, He called the disciples and He said unto them, let us go unto the other side. Hallelujah. But was it a small ride? Are we here? Are we listening? You know, some minutes ago we confessed that we are strong. So I believe there is no weak person in our midst. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. Now, when He told them that, was He telling them a lie? Now, in the spirit of what He told them, the account said He went to sleep and gave the instruction of moving the ship to the other side to those who had the responsibility of doing it. Hallelujah. But as they began to move, what happened? It became tempestuous. The ship began to move up and down, began to move up and down. And I am sure the disciples did as much as they could do. And remember, some of them were trained fishermen. They knew how to manage canoes and ships and things like that. But after they had tried and tried and tried and they could not deal with the situation, well, they became a bit wise. And they went and knocked. Oga, please wake up. And when he woke up, they asked a very interesting question. That time you told us to cross over to the other side. Did you know what you were saying? You know you are Jesus and you are able to see. Did you see this storm that came? He said, yes, I saw it. So you wanted us to come and die inside this water. And Jesus said, I am not ready to start a debate. So he moved and he rebuked the storm. He rebuked the wind. And there was calm. Hallelujah. Now, the key thing is, what did he tell them? What did he tell them before they set off? He said, let us go where? Over. Did he say, let us go inside the water? Did he say, let us go and perish? What did he say? Let us go over. The key issue is, you must listen intently. You must hear what he has said. Don't add your own. His instruction was clear. Go over to the other side. In that word was every grace, every power, every ability to take you across. So your knowledge as a fisherman, your knowledge as a shipbuilder, your knowledge as a storm manager is not relevant. What is relevant is the word that has been spoken. Hallelujah. Brethren, we must take the word. We must live the word. We must sleep the word. We must rest the word. The word must be true in our lives. Situations will arise when every man will be a liar. Every circumstance, every situation will be a liar. And God will be true. Hallelujah. So we can marry this Isaiah 7 and that place in Mark. The instruction is go on to the other side. Here, there is a war that there will be war against you. But that's not the news. The news is that they will not prevail against you. Now, if you pay too much attention to the word war, and you don't pay attention, they will not prevail, then there will be challenges along the way. Hallelujah! But they will not prevail against us. Oh, you didn't hear me. No force formed, no power formed, no thought formed against you will prevail in the name of Jesus. He says it was told, verse 2, Isaiah 7. It was told the house of David saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. So what is said here is that the word came to Jerusalem. And it was told, Syria has made an alliance. And what happened to Jerusalem? He says, his heart was moved. And the heart of the people, how were their hearts moved? Says their hearts were moved as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Hallelujah. A word came. An information came. A bit of news came. And when the news came, the account says their hearts were moved. And how were their hearts moved? Their hearts were moved the way the trees of the field are moved. You know, when the wind blows like this, the trees blow like this. And then the wind blows again, and they are like this. But that will not be your lot in the name of Jesus. Whatever comes, you will stand. You will stand. You will stand. You will stand. In the name of Jesus. Verse 3. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and share Jashub thy son, and say unto him, take heed and be what? Verse 4. Take heed and be what? Sorry? Take heed and be quiet. Take heed and be calm. What is the name of the force? You know, there are all manners of names that are out there. There are names that men hear and they panic. There are names that they hear and they run into frenzy. But whatever the name, the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah. Be quiet. Don't fear. Don't be faint-hearted. And brethren, that must characterize us at this time. We must be quiet. We must be calm. Hallelujah. We must not be faint-hearted. Verse 6. It says, the people said, let us go against Judah and do what? And vex it. Let us make a breach therein for us. And let us set a king in the midst of it. But what did God say? Verse 7. What is the word of the Lord? Sorry? It shall stand. It shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. So it is not what is said outside that is important. It is what God says. They said, we will vex her. We will overthrow. And God says, it shall not stand. So who are you going to believe? Hallelujah. It shall not come to pass. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I think we can live. But like I said, on your own, go and read those passages. That's Isaiah 7, Isaiah 8, Isaiah 9. They speak about days that are coming upon the earth and even upon the true church. And the days are of the nature that God says that which is coming will be like a flood. And the flood will rise. Now, if you see a flood that gets up to here, you might not panic. If you see a flood that gets up to your waist, you might not panic. But when you see a flood that comes up to your neck, how do you react? When a flood comes and it comes up to your neck. But God says, even if the flood comes up to your neck, it will still not overwhelm you. Hallelujah. Now, when you see a flood up to your neck, you know, a few days, about 1 or 2 weeks ago, after I received this word, I happened to have been in a swimming pool and I said, let me even see what the experience is like for water to rise up to your neck. You know, the moment the water goes above your neck, it goes into your mouth and it's almost at the point where it is over. The pressure when water gets to your neck is much. But God is saying, even if the pressure gets to that point, you will still be declaring, I will not be overcome. I will not be overwhelmed. I will not come under. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is necessary because the Lord has been speaking
about the state of the church.
And I want us to open our Bibles to Ezekiel 37. It's a very popular passage. Ezekiel 37. That many in the house of God, their state is like you find in this place in Ezekiel 37. Verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. It caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Brethren, by the help of the Spirit of God, the spirit of prophecy will be present in this gathering and every area of our lives where we have known dryness, where we have been dry, where things have been difficult, we will know a divine touch in the name of Jesus. You know, very dry bones. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you. I will bring up flesh upon you. I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Brethren, many of us have not known God to the extent he will reveal himself. Back again to this particular passage. That Gadarene man, many of us are like that man. The account says, the man is in the mountain today. The next day, he is in the tombs. His life was up. His life was down. His life was miserable. Nobody could tie him. He was wild, uncontrollable. Hallelujah. And Jesus came on the scene. And Jesus spoke to his situation and restored him. Hallelujah. Brethren, we receive the Lord's restoration in the name of Jesus. The account says the man, after he had had that divine touch, he sat down. He was in his right mind and he was properly clothed. He was properly clothed. He sat down and he was in his right mind. Hallelujah. To be in the right mind means you know who you are. You know what God has invested in you, and you can no longer be pushed to and fro by every wind that comes your way. Hallelujah. Now, after he came to himself, the man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. And Jesus said, no, you will not follow me. But I'm going to give you an assignment. You will go, and you will tell those you see what great things the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. There is a commission the Lord will make at the end of this meeting. That commission is go and tell all you see what great things the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. But let me ask a question. Is the Lord telling you to go and tell a lie? Or is he telling you go and speak by faith? That man, when he went out and he began to speak, was he speaking by faith? When he said, the Lord has done great things in my life, was he telling a lie? So if God says, I am going to send you at the end of this meeting on an assignment, and that assignment is go and tell those you see what great things the Lord has done in your life. What does that mean? I want to see whether you are thinking the way I'm thinking. If God tells you that by the end of this meeting, I'm sending you on an assignment. The assignment is everyone you see, tell them the Lord has done great things for me. The Lord has done great things for me. The Lord has visited me. What does it mean? It means between now and when you leave here, what will he do? Oh, are you here? What will God do? You don't sound like people who believe his great things. What will the Lord do? The Lord will make you a witness to his power, a witness to his beauty, a witness to his glory. That's what he's going to send you out to go and declare. Go and declare what great things he has done for you. Hallelujah. And you can go to God and say, God, I'm not going to tell a lie. You have not done great things. Sorry, maybe I am not, Brother Chola is not as spiritual as... Is it possible to tell God, God, you said, I should go and tell the great things you have done. I have checked. I've not seen any great thing you have done. Can you tell God that? Or would that be rudeness? How dare you tell God he has not done great things? If he has not done great things, do you not have a right to tell him, God, you have not done great things? Now, if he says, challenge me, challenge me, challenge me, challenge me. Brethren, we will challenge God. Oh, we are sounding very pious. We will challenge God. God, we will go out and testify that you have done great things. But we have not seen the great things yet. So the question is, does God have ability to do great things? So where is the problem? We have to believe for it. We have to demand for it. Many of us are too nice. You know, we are too civil. It's like you go to God and say, God, that thing that I've asked you now, do you want to do it? And God says, are you sure you need it? God, don't worry. Tomorrow is another day. It's never too late. Hallelujah. You know, because where Jesus gave the parable, where he taught them about the prayer, what was the example he used? He used the example of a woman who came. Or is that not so? He used two illustrations, but we use one of them. That a woman came to meet a man and said, look, I have a visitor. There's an issue. I need help. And the man said, look, I am already asleep. You are disturbing me. What did the woman say? Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were asleep. You know, as a gentleman, I should not disturb you. Let me go home. I'll come back tomorrow. Is that what she said? What did she say? Oga, you and I, nobody is sleeping today. Oh. Do you understand what I'm saying? God, you and I, none of us is sleeping when? You know, God gets it. Okay, who told that parable? Was it not Jesus who told the parable? Now, why did he tell it? Because at times we seem undecided whether we really want what God wants to do or not. But like we said, God said, if your earthly fathers who are good, not are they good? No, they're not good. There are some of them are good, but not all of them. But even despite the fact that they are not good, they are not good to other people's children, but at least they are good to their own. They know how to struggle, run around, and do things in the lives of their children. How much more God? So at times a lot of times I tend to put myself in the place of God. That I wish I could have a situation where maybe I want to travel and I call my children. And I say, my children, I want to go somewhere. What do you want me to do? Now, if I have a very nice one, say, oh, daddy, don't worry. Don't worry at all. I don't need anything. Say, oh, your own case is very good. Oh, yeah, step aside. Let's see those who need things. Hallelujah. Now, if I come back and I don't bring anything, will I have been a bad father? Because I don't want the child to get angry. If you have a child, do you want something? I say, no, don't worry. And then I go and bring, and the child gets very angry. You know, it can cause trouble. So I don't want to offend you. I will leave you as you are. But let those, you know, when I love my children who like how to ask. Those who know how to ask. Those who will say, well, daddy, I know you are not really planning to do this, but if you were to do it, it will not be a bad idea. Oh, it thrills me. It excites me. I can score anywhere I am going to make sure that thing they want, I get it for them. Now, is your father different from that one? But where I as a man have limitation, he does not have limitation. He does not have to run everywhere to find whatever you need. Hallelujah. But he says he expects you to come with the spirit of importunity, the spirit of fervency. Brethren, if we had found excuse before now, not to have certain things happen in our lives, you will not have any excuse from today. In the name of Jesus. One of the things that we will get there, one of the burdens the Lord is laying upon the church is that we must walk in love. And to walk in love means I have a responsibility to challenge you. To say, my brother, I see evidence of shame in your life. I see evidence of reproach in your life. I see things the devil can point at. And say, you say you're a child of God, forget. I have a responsibility to provoke you and to challenge you. To say, believe God, stand on his word. And brethren, I see a situation where what the days that are coming upon us are days where you cannot afford to be selfish. We will not be selfish. Okay, your amen is not loud. We will not be selfish. In the name of Jesus. You know, at times I see a situation, you come to fellowship. The Lord has been good to you. He has blessed you. You, your family, you are doing well. And then when you are going, you see your other brethren. The Lord bless you. The Lord help you. And you enter your car and you drive off. And after you've left them, they don't know what to do. Now, brethren, the people of God are not going to be beggars.
We come against the spirit of begging. We will not beg. And we judge the spirit of lack in the body of Christ in the name of Jesus. But we are going to provoke one another. We are going to tell each other, brother, I don't know the way you are managing your life, but you are not together. What is going on in your life is not representing the interest of Christ. You are expected to be an ambassador for Christ. The ambassador of the United States will not stand. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Brethren, we will provoke one another. When the Lord is saying, let us move on to the other side, part of what he is demanding is the situations in our lives that are giving the devil reason to rejoice. We will band together. We will come together. We will fast, we will pray, and we say, God, we will not let you go until you change this situation. 4 or 5 people will gather with me and say, that is you in your life. We are going to pray. We are going to believe God on this, that there's a change. And then when God has dealt with the situation in my life, we will pick you too. And we will take the situation in your life. And we will begin to pray until we receive an answer. Brethren, the answers will come. In the name of Jesus. So, there's a prophecy. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord says, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews upon you. I will bring flesh upon you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, these people, verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say. That was why I started with, let us be careful about what we say. They say, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. And we have been cut out. We have been dismembered. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. And we have been cut off. Hallelujah. But then, who are these people who are saying this? Verse 10. He says, so I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them. And they lived. And they stood upon their feet. And who are these? An exceeding what? Great army. The army of the Lord. Because of life's challenges. Because of situations, they got to a point where that which they were proclaiming is, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. I know that will not be our testimony. But it's like, if there were to be any inclination to make such confession, let us bring it under judgment. We will not confess. We will not proclaim that our bones are dry. Our confession, our proclamation is that our bones are strong. Our bones are joined. Our flesh is renewed. Our sinews, our muscles, every part of us is alive and well. In the name of Jesus. Why? Because this is the army of the Lord. This is the army of the Lord. God is building an army. It is a great army. It is a strong army. It is a mighty army. It is an army where God is raising generals and officers, men who will stand and say, the kingdom of God is here. The purpose of God is here. They will represent Christ upon the earth in every area of their lives. There will not be a reproach. Men will not laugh at them. In the name of Jesus, if there had been any occasion for any devil to ridicule us, we say that day is judged. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So our testimony will change. Our confession will change. Our bones are not dry. Our hope is not lost. And we are not consumed. We are not dismembered. In the name of Jesus. Now, let me give you an idea of the army that the Lord is building. And I want us to look at Joel chapter 2. We will still come back to Ezekiel. But there's an army that is described in Joel chapter 2. The army of the Lord in the day of the Lord. It is a mighty army. It is a strong army. They are people that will advance the purpose of God. They will not fear. They will not be faint-hearted in the name of Jesus. Joel 2 says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord tremble. For the day of the Lord comes. It is near at hand.
It is a day of darkness and of gloominess to those on the earth and unto the people. Not to the people of the law. The people of the Lord are part of the advancing army of the law. So it cannot be a day of darkness. It is a day of strength unto them in the name of Jesus. But unto those who have not trusted, who have not built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a day of darkness. It is a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Hallelujah. But God says concerning his army, he says they are a great people. They are a strong people. Says there have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. The Lord is building a great people. Say, I am a great person. I am a strong person. In the name of Jesus. And none like me has been made. You know, you are not the one saying it. God is the one who is saying it. So, with all apologies, none like me, none like you has been made. Hallelujah! Says, a fire devours before them. Behind them, a flame burns. In the process of uprooting, in the process of destroying, in the process of bringing nations under rule. Hallelujah. And you know, it starts from the place where God has placed you. I was discussing earlier on today, and one of our brothers was saying, this nation, yes, we know things are going to get there, but if things will get darker than it is in Nigeria now, how terrible will it be? Hallelujah. A fire devours before them. Behind them, a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Behind them, a desolate wilderness. Nothing shall escape them. They will be full of eyes all around. They will not be blind. In the name of Jesus. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. Horses are known for strength. You will not be weak. You will not be weak. You will be strong. In the name of Jesus. As horsemen, they shall run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, they shall leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Not battle weary, not battle defeated, but set in battle array. Hallelujah! A people standing to advance the kingdom of God, advance the purpose of God, speaking to the forces of darkness, there is no resting place here. Move, and they will move in the name of Jesus. Says, before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. All faces that had been rebellious, that had been unwilling to bow unto God and unto Christ, they shall be much pained. Hallelujah. Says, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. They will march in proper order, every man knowing what he is expected to do, and doing that which the Lord has committed into his hands. Hallelujah.